Let's turn now in the scriptures to Leviticus in chapter 15. Leviticus in chapter 15, we will read verses 1 through 33, the whole chapter. Leviticus 15. And beginning in verse 1, these are the inerrant, infallible, and fully authoritative and applicable words of God. The Lord also spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when any man has a discharge from his body, his discharge is unclean. This, moreover, shall be his uncleanness and his discharge. It is his uncleanness whether his body allows its discharge to flow or whether his body obstructs its discharge. Every bed on which the person with the discharge lies becomes unclean, and everything on which he sits becomes unclean. Anyone, moreover, who touches his bed shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. And whoever sits on the thing on which the man with the discharge has been sitting shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Also, whoever touches the person with the discharge shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Or if the man with the discharge spits on one who is clean, he too shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Every saddle on which the person with the discharge rides becomes unclean. Whoever then touches any of the things which were under him shall be unclean until evening, and he who carries them shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Likewise, whomever the one with the discharge touches without having rinsed his hands in water shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. However, an earthen well vessel which the person with the discharge touches shall be broken, and every wooden vessel shall be rinsed in water. Now when the man with the discharge becomes cleansed from his discharge, then he shall count off for himself 7 days for his cleansing. He shall then wash his clothes and bathe his body in running water and will become clean. Then on the 8th day he shall take for himself 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons and come before the Lord to the doorway of the tent of meeting and give them to the priest. And the priest shall offer them, one for the sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. So the priest shall make atonement on his behalf before the Lord because of his discharge. Now if a man has a seminal emission, he shall bathe all his body in water and be unclean until evening. As for any garment or any leather on which there is seminal emission, it shall be washed with water and become unclean until evening. If a man lies with a woman so that there is a seminal emission, they shall both bathe in water and be unclean until evening. When a woman has a discharge, if her discharge in her body is blood, she shall continue in her menstrual impurity for 7 days, and whoever touches her shall be unclean until evening. Everything also on which she lies during her menstrual impurity shall be unclean, and everything on which she sits shall be unclean. Anyone who touches her bed shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Whoever touches anything on which she sits shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. Whether it be on the bed or on the thing on which she is sitting, when he touches it, he shall be unclean until evening. If a man actually lies with her so that her menstrual impurity is on him, he shall be unclean 7 days, and every bed on which he lies shall be unclean. Now if a woman has a discharge of her blood many days, not at the period of her menstrual impurity, or if she has a discharge beyond that period, all the days of her impure discharge shall continue as though in her menstrual impurity she is unclean. Any bed on which she lies all the days of her discharge shall be on her like her bed at menstruation, and everything on which she sits shall be unclean like her uncleanness at that time. Likewise, whoever touches them shall be unclean and shall wash his clothes and bathe in water and be unclean until evening. When she becomes clean from her discharge, she shall count off for herself 7 days, and afterwards she shall be clean. Then on the 8th day she shall take for herself 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons, and bring them into the priest to the doorway of the tent of meeting. The priest shall offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. So the priest shall make atonement on her behalf before the Lord because of her impure discharge. Thus you shall keep the sons of Israel separated from their uncleanness. so that they will not die in their uncleanness by their defiling my tabernacle that is among them. This is the law for the one with a discharge, and for the man who has a seminal emission, so that he is unclean by it, and for the woman who is ill because of her menstrual impurity, and for the one who has a discharge, whether a male or a female, or a man who lies with an unclean woman. And those are God's words. Something we don't often talk about, and yet God speaks clearly about it. Chapter 15 gives us other laws now concerning ceremonial, that is, worship uncleanness. And so people of Israel who had these uncleannesses, as we've talked about the leprosy and things like that, they were not able to come to worship without first being made clean, like it's talking about in these chapters. And those ways the people of Israel were considered unclean by contracting bodily disease like that of the leper, and yet not leprosy, or other things like we see here, menstruation, seminal emission, things like that. And we see the chapter is divided into two, the first part dealing with men, the second half of it dealing with women. And we remember today that uncleanness, as we've heard already, uncleanness points us to the uncleanness of the Gentiles in the New Testament. That is, our fleshly lusts, our sins, are those things, the fruit of the flesh that we've been covering and needing to put to death in the sermons in the morning. And two stories really from Scripture really stand out that refer to this passage or things like this passage. The first is in Genesis 31, before the ceremonial law is even given, and yet still you see there Laban having an understanding that he would be unclean if he would have touched Rachel. Rachel was hiding the stolen idol from Laban, and she was on a saddle, on an animal, and she said that she was having the flow of blood. She was menstruating, which means she was unclean ceremonially. And she told that to Laban, and Laban did not go near her to be able to get the stolen idol. Then the other example in Scripture is the woman who had the long-term hemorrhage. She had the blood flowing for 12 years, the flow of blood for 12 years. She's not able to get rid of this uncleanness, that disease. She's not able of her own power or activity to heal herself, but it only comes, her healing only comes by the power of Jesus Christ. So over and over in Leviticus, we're seeing Christ be the only means of healing and making us clean of our sins, or cleansing us of our sins. And that's what we're going to hear in the sermon this morning as well. So that's what Leviticus teaches so far, and Christ alone makes us clean of our sin and our fleshly lusts. Let's pray. Our Father, we come by Your Holy Spirit to Your throne, and we're thankful that You are a gracious God, You're a merciful God who cleanses us in the blood of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We're thankful that He alone is the healer. He is the alone is the one who cleanses us of our frailties, of our ailments, of our sins. And Father, we are thankful that You have given us Him, and that we come after Him, that we are not exposed to the ceremonial law, that those times of the Old Testament for Israel that they were under, giving these many different ways that they were made unclean and therefore unable to come to worship. And yet, thankfully, we come today to worship freely without hindrance by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us. And so that we know whenever two or three are gathered there, You are in our midst and You are present with us, and we're thankful for that. And that we are able, even when we've sinned, we are able to come to Your presence. And yet, Father, we know that You cleanse us. You've already cleansed us by the death of Your Son, that we in Him have died to our sin. And we are thankful for the gospel and thankful for being in this time under the new covenant. Now, Father, we're also thankful for your Holy Spirit who you've given to us, who is our great comforter and guide, who continues to put to death sin within us as your people. And yet, Father, we pray that you would send your Spirit to convert, to regenerate, to make hearts new, and to bring your elect to yourself, that they would all believe, that your people all here would believe and do so unto salvation. Father, we do pray for our government, as you command us to pray for rulers and kings and authority. And so, Father, we ask that first you would make us submissive to our government as much as is possible while Christ is our King over all, and that we would, of course, submit to him in everything, and submitting to our government and all good things where we're not forced to sin. Father, we also ask that you would, knowing that it is your desire that all sorts of people be saved, we pray for our rulers that you would save them, that those in authority and government would love you and rule according to your word and love your word and know and bow the knee that Christ is King. They would kiss the Son, as Psalm 2 commands them to do. And Father, of course, we ask that we would, of course, bow the knee to you as well. Father, we do ask for the church throughout the world that you would spread your word and spread the gospel, that many would enter in and come into the great harvest that you're bringing about. Again, we are thankful that you've provided for us. And we think of it now and probably throughout the rest of the year and into the next year. Father, we're thankful for the homes and the roofs you've provided for us and the heat. And we're even thankful for the rain that you've provided lately, since we've went a long time without rain and moisture. And we're thankful for that. We're also thankful for your church and the opportunity we have to fellowship even more this morning or after worship this morning with our fellowship meal. We pray that you would bless our time together, and that you would be glorified in our conversation, that our conversation would be focused upon you and your word, and perhaps even the sermon or the text of scriptures we've read today, or the psalms we've sung, Father, or what we learned in Sabbath school. We pray that our conversation would be honoring to you, and that we would delight in you and rest in you alone on this day. Now, Father, we do pray for those whose souls are struggling, that you would put to death the sin that remains, and that you would comfort them and all of us with the gospel, that you would uplift our souls with your promises, and that we would believe what we hear. And Father, we do pray for our bodies, that you would heal our bodies. We pray especially for Jeannie and Dina, that you would heal, and anyone who are sick. We pray for Dave and Patty who have colds, and any others who may be sick or hurting in their bodies. Father, we pray that you would bring healing, full healing, which we know we can pray with faith that you will, at your perfect timing. You will bring about our perfect healing. And so, Father, we are thankful that one day we will be without sin, we'll be without pain and tears. When we enter into glory, we know then, at least then, we will be healed in our souls, in our hearts, and in our bodies. And thankful for your promises and those things, these things, Father. Father, we pray that you would receive our worship as we continue and even singing your praises. Now we ask that you would hear us and answer our prayers, and because we do pray in Jesus' name, amen.